Today we continue our study that we've been doing now for a while, the fall and rise of King David. But before we get into our lesson today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity to open up thy very words, Lord. Father, bless your word today. Father, we pray that you would take your words and minister to us individually as only you can. Father, we pray that you'd bless each one listening today. We pray that you'd encourage the saints of God to continue on for thee. And Father, we pray, if there's a lost soul that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they would call from a heart of faith, believing that Christ died. He died for their sins, was buried, and arose again the third day to save them. Father, we just ask it now, that you would have your will and your way in our hearts and minds today. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, dear listeners, we're close to the end of our lesson here on the fall and rise of King David. And we're going to be reading from 2 Samuel, chapter 12, and verses 24 to 31. Let's look at verse 24. The Word of God has this to say. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. So we see here, life goes on. There'll be heartaches, which could have been avoided. Amen. There will be many sorrows as part of the reaping process. But the restored man is seen with his wife. There is a home life, tainted and stained for sure, but it endures. There's a new child, a fresh start, a hope for the future. There is comfort. There is love. Better yet, there is love from the Lord. Who can describe such grace, my dear listener? Amen. What words could measure the mercy of God? Whatever price this peer must pay, it is far less than what is owed. That such a scene of happiness and serenity should come at the close of such a sordid tale fills our hearts with wonder, does it not? You see, our Lord is so compassionate, so long-suffering as to overwhelm us. Amen. Look now at verse 25 of 2 Samuel chapter 12. The word of God has this to say. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. The name given is understood to mean beloved of the Lord. So we stop to rejoice with tears in knowing that our sins are not all visited upon our children. Yes, the child born outside of marriage was taken, but this one shall ascend to the throne. Note that this little one is not loved because of David or Bathsheba, nor is it despised on their account. But because God is love, the child is loved by God. My dear listeners, we see again how the Lord does not afflict willingly. But where he may, he bestows his favors because he delights to do so. Again, let's turn to 2 Samuel 12, and look at verses 26 to 28. And this is what the Word of God has to say. And Joab fought against Rabbah of the children of Ammon and took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to David and said, I have fought against Rabbah and have taken the city of waters. Now therefore gather the rest of the people together and encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name. Here we circle back to the place where we began. Joab is at war, where David should have been from the start. Joab is nearing complete victory and will get much honor to his name in taking the city of Rabbah. Yet, notice, he sends for David and bids him come and finish the job and win the day and get the glory and have his name attached to the accomplishments wrought by others. Look upon this carefully, my dear listeners. Joab has enough dirt on David to destroy him. God directs a proud and mighty warrior to act in lowliness and submission, forsaking his rightful honors, so that David's place as a warrior king may be reestablished. David has long been out of his proper position at the head of the troops. Yet here is an invitation to return to the battle to the forefront. We ask the question, is it possible that God would use him again? Is it possible that there is still a place of service after such disgrace? Is it possible that he could once more know the joy of victory, the warmth of fellowship, and the exhilaration of accomplishment for the Lord? The answer each time is yes. Restoration. How sweet the thought. Have you read these chapters as one who has fallen? Have you truly repented? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to show you that there is yet a place in the field of battle for those pardoned by the Lord? See, my dear listener, don't listen to the devil. Because whatever you've done, he'll tell you that God cannot forgive that sin, that he won't forgive that sin. See, the devil wants to conquer and divide. But don't listen to him. No matter what you've done, God is waiting to forgive you. If you just come to him with a heart of repentance and confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us, amen, of all our sins. That's what the Word of God says. That's the promise that you and I have to claim when we sin. See, the devil would like nothing more to keep you and I from serving God, living for the Lord. So don't listen to his lies. Remember, he's the father of lies. He's a murderer. He's out to destroy. You know, he knows you're saved. He can't take you to hell, but he'll try to keep you from serving God. Don't listen to him. Learn from David, from his example. A man who has fallen, amen, from high heights to low lows. But there's restoration waiting for him and waiting for each and every one of us. Amen. Let's look at verse 29 of 2 Samuel 12. The word of God has this to say, and David gathered all the people together and went to Rabbah and fought against it and took it. We see his leadership is restored. The people fall in behind him. He is back where he belongs. My dear listener, all we can say is God is great, is he not? The battle commences, and as he approaches the wall, he must be thinking of Uriah. Though his mind must flash thoughts of a noble and honest man, betrayed and murdered by the king, he trusted. Hebrews 13:4 reminds us, adulterers God will judge. And such thoughts will visit David often for the rest of his life. But now, he has his sword in hand. Now he is surrounded by the noise of war. Now he is gaining ground. He'll never be the same, but he's not a castaway. He will ever carry the marks of his fall, but he can and will be used of Jehovah until the day of his death. With all the stains upon your conscience, will you go forth to battle? What lingering regrets from failures now forgiven, will you take the sword of the Spirit once again, my dear listeners? Would God allow it? We see here that he does. Take hope and serve him. Amen. Look at verse 30 with me of 2 Samuel 12. The word of God has this to say. And he took their king's crown from off his head, the weight whereof was a talent of gold with the precious stones, and it was set on David's head. David wins a crown. I repeat, David wins a crown. We need not recount all the steps in his fall. They are well known. We need not review his crimes. They shall not be forgotten. But he did repent, did he not? And he did seek the Lord, and he was heard, and he was forgiven, and he has been restored, and he is back in the battle, and he is victorious, and David wins a crown. It's evident from both testaments that God does not want anyone to fall. It is also clearly seen that many do fall. There is also ample scriptural evidence to justify our declaring to every fallen man or woman that all is not lost, for Samson may yet win against the Philistines. Ahab may yet find mercy. The prodigal may be welcome home to singing and feasting. John Mark may indeed prove profitable. Peter may become a pillar in the church. My dear listeners, our God is a God of grace. Look now at verse number 30. In 2 Samuel 12, the word of God has this to say. And he brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance. What he did not earn, what he did not deserve, that for which another man labored, is all given into the hand of David. Like the wayward son's reward in Luke 15, here the Holy Spirit shows us how completely we may be recovered out of the snare of the fowler. Dear listeners, let us rejoice in the Lord our God. Amen. Let's take King David as an example. We see his fall and rise. He was at a low, low point, and now through the grace of God, he's worked himself back up. Amen. To the pinnacle. And thank God for that. He will do that for each and every one of us, will he not? If we must trust in him and go to him, amen, and ask for forgiveness, he will. In 2 Samuel 11, we read in gory detail of David's fall. And as the chapter unfolds, we see his equally disturbing efforts to cover his sin and all the consequences thereof. When chapter 12 opens of 2 Samuel, he has so lost his way that he sits in harsh judgment upon a man who took a farm animal for another man, as though somehow that crime was worse than his. Then God lowered the boom, and the death which comes as the wages of sin began to visit his home and family. But then the astonishing sequel. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, 26 to 28, we read, "And Joab fought against Rabbah of the children of Ammon, and took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to David and said, I have fought against Rabbah and have taken the city of waters. Now therefore gather the rest of the people together in a camp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name." David had fallen because he was not in battle when the troops had gone to war. He had been shipwrecked because he was no longer fighting the good fight. But now, word comes to him from God by the way of Joab. "Come, David, get back in the war. Join us, David. David, there is work for you to do." How can this be? Could God be so gracious, we ask. And then in verse 29 of 2 Samuel 12, "And David gathered all the people together," amen, "and went to Rabbah and fought against it and took it." My dear listeners, look at this. The Lord has allowed a man to climb out of ruin, to shake off his shame, to rise from the deathbed of his child, and to get back into the service of God and stand side by side with those who are fighting against the foes of God. And the Lord gave him victory. Is this not incredible, amazing? Who would have thought it possible? And then in verse 30, 2 Samuel 12, "And he took their king's crown from off his head, the weight whereof was a talent of gold with the precious stones, and it was set on David's head." Beloved listeners, this awful, shameful story ends with David gaining a crown in battle. I want you to think with wonder upon that truth. Just think of it. Unworthy, undeserving, broken, and with a heavy price yet to pay, the Lord allowed this man back in the fight. He gave him victory in the battle. And when he went home that night, there was a crown upon his head. Perhaps we have many years left to live. It is certain that a repentant man or woman may return to the fight, may yet win victories, and may even wear a crown upon their head. If we have fallen, Lord, the Lord who must chasten us is far more merciful than men. In fact, he is more merciful than most men want him to be. Amen. Remember Jonah, how upset and angry and he was at God now because Nineveh had repented. The Lord repented from destroying Nineveh. See, you want God's mercy. He is much more merciful than man could ever be. See, David had many sorrows left to face as we continue reading about him and the Word of God. Amen. Because of his transgression. And it's likely the case for each of us. But David had many joys and triumphs left to enjoy because he turned to God at last. My dear listener, it's my prayer that each of you will someday know the overwhelming joy of winning a crown from a God gracious and merciful beyond our comprehension. Again, we often hear folks say, why do you read the Old Testament? It doesn't apply to us. Well, the answer to that is maybe doctrinally, you know, it doesn't. But there is such, the Old Testament is so rich in practical applications to the Christian today. And we've been looking at it as we've been studying the fall and rise of King David. Amen. We can take, amen, what we've learned about David and apply it to our own selves, can we not? This hope. Who would ever thought when we began a lesson on the fall and rise of King David and we saw him as we begin our study, his sin began with a look. Amen. Actually, his sin began where he was where he shouldn't have been. He should have been in battle. See? He should have been actively in battle. He shouldn't have had this free time that he had. See? We need to remember that. We need to be actively in battle for the Lord. It's a spiritual battle, the Word of God tells us. Each day that you and I get up, amen, we face a spiritual battle. And one of the greatest battles is a battle within. Amen, is it not? We know that part of us, our flesh, the old man, is not born again, is not saved. Amen. But the Word of God says that old man's been crucified with Christ. It's been nailed to the cross. Amen. And we have. Our soul is saved and our spirit has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, has it not? So within each and every one of us, we have resurrection power. The same power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the heart of the earth is in you and I. And all that we need to do is when we get up, each and every day consciously, amen, we need to consciously say, Lord, give me the strength to walk in your spirit, amen, produce the fruit of the spirit and not be yielded to my sinful flesh and produce the works of the flesh, amen. And to yield our members unto righteousness and not unrighteousness. Paul knew that there was no good thing in him, that the flesh was wicked. He said, oh, wretched man. Amen. Who is going to deliver you from the power of sin in your life? The indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen. And we may not, you and I as individual Christians, we may not get it right every time. We may stumble and we may fall. But through the study on David, as we saw him commit one sin after another, and one sin to cover up another sin, and he kept digging the hole deeper and deeper for himself. And then God sent Nathan the prophet to give it to him. Flat out straight, thou art the man. Look at yourself, David, what you've done. We need to thank God and bless God for God-ordained preachers that come and tell us the truth. Amen. Thank God for the preachers that preach the truth. Amen. My dear listeners, we must remember what the Word of God has to say in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. Sometimes you and I need to be reproved, corrected. Amen. Instructed. That's what Nathan did for David. God used him to do those things. And thank God for preachers who preach, not just things that tickle ears. Amen. We don't want that kind of preaching. Sometimes we need to leave church not feeling good about ourselves. And thank God for the preachers that preach and use the Word of God to reprove us, to correct us, to instruct us. Amen. But thank God after David heard what Nathan had to say from the Word of God, that he got right with God, he repented, and God forgave him and restored him. Yes, he still will reap the effects of his sin, but now he's right with God. And as we see here at the end, he is victorious. So we need to learn from David. We fall, we come to God, repentance heart, repent, get right with God, and we can continue on and get the victory and live the victorious Christian life. Well, that concludes our study on the fall and rise of King David. Until we meet again, may God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.